Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. Or you might also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, which I love. And I love all of them. Thank you for tuning in wherever in the world you're listening from. And I'm going to go ahead and play a pre-recorded interview. So I hope you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Leah Guy. She is an intuitive, transpersonal healer, spiritual teacher, professional speaker, and media personality. She offers wisdom from a lifetime of personal triumphs and more than 22 years helping clients transform their lives from fear and disconnection to heart-centered, soulful living. And she's here today to talk about her book, The Fearless Path, A Radical Awakening to Emotional Healing and Inner Peace. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Thanks for being with us. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and what got you into helping people with their emotional healing?
Well, I think like a lot of people that do what I do or similar jobs to what I do, I came to it through my own tragedy and traumas. I am a person who has lived through some of I shouldn't judge what level of traumas they are, but things from divorce as a child, eating disorder. I had a sexual assault when I was a young woman and also divorced myself. And these compounded traumatic experiences and painful experiences rendered me really unable to feel well and healthy until I sought out the kind of help that I needed, which took a long, long stretch of time. And over that course of time, I discovered that it was really through helping other people that I was also being helped myself. So I'm kind of the wounded healer, I guess, if you want to use that terminology. But I've been doing this kind of work now for about 25 years, helping people through addictions, through anxiety disorders, through fear-based issues, and different traumas in their life. Also, just those that want to emotionally evolve and kind of get unstuck.
Awesome. Thank you, Leah. Well, in your book, also, you can find Leah at her website, modernsage.com. In your book, The Fearless Path, you talk about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, but you have a different name for the type of client that you work with, which is the post-traumatic emotional disorder. So can you tell us a little bit about what you mean by that?
Sure. Well, you know, we know that PTSD, or we're familiar with PTSD, which is a stress disorder. It comes from severe, shocking, upsetting, or traumatic incidents or accidents or just life events. Not everyone has those kinds of shocking events that affect their well-being, but most of us have some, what I call kind of like a low-grade issue of those things, like what I was talking about earlier, whether it's unresolved grief or being bullied as a child or being really shamed, going through other traumatic issues, and we just haven't learned how to process our emotions, and we're not taught that it's healthy to process our emotions so much when we're younger. So we kind of start carrying around the ill effects of these unprocessed emotions, which start causing other symptoms of emotional stress, like anxiety, like insomnia, many of the same symptoms that you might find with PTSD, but just not as severe. And then all of a sudden, a person reaches their 30s or 40s or 50s, and then they're curious, why am I all of a sudden having this kind of experience? Why do I not feel good? Why can't I sleep at night? Why do I feel stuck in my life? Why am I so resentful or impatient? And it's likely to be from some of this unresolved post-traumatic emotional stress.
So, Leah, it sounds like a lot of the people, just getting the sense that a lot of the people you work with are quite high functioning, and then it's this accumulation of this emotional trauma over the course of many decades that starts to manifest itself.
Yes, it can be, and or it can be an event that happens later in life that stirs up memories and emotions of experiences that we had when we were younger. For example, someone going through a relationship issue and having a really hard time dealing with this particular kind of relationship, or a relationship breaking up. And then what's underneath that is there an internal struggle of their own guilt, let's say, guilty feelings of their place in the relationship with their parents, or, you know, something they experienced when they were much younger. And so it starts to surface different times in our life and show up. And it's asking for us to take care of that, you know, and to give it some attention.
So it's clear that a lot of us, I don't think it's really the norm that kids are really taught how to self-regulate and to deal with their emotions. It's something that's kind of new in child psychology and development now. So why do you think it is that we didn't learn this stuff?
I know. That's a really tough question. I'm not sure. I think it's, you know, it's just difficult stuff. And there's kind of been a stigma about emotions for a very long time. You know, we give physical health a lot of attention. We give mental health more and more attention, which is great. But there is the reality of emotional health and emotional well-being. And I'm not sure that, you know, for a very long time, not only just for men, but also for women, you know, we're told not to overreact, not to, you know, display public emotions, not to, you know, hurt someone else's feelings with our own, all these kinds of mixed messages that leave a person really feeling trapped inside. And so I'm really glad that now it's starting to get more attention, at least, and I hope that that continues. You know, there's nothing wrong with the emotions themselves, and especially now we see on the news so much about all these rageful acts and bullying and so forth, and those are just byproducts of unresolved anger, unresolved, you know, poor self-image issues, that kind of thing. So it's really important that we address this stuff.
Absolutely. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that, the unresolved anger. Like it seems like some people will just sort of swallow and bury their feelings, and then little resentments will build up slowly over time, and they won't say anything, so the other people around them have no idea that they're suffering. And then one day something will trigger this huge blow up.
Yes. It's a big issue. It is. And, you know, again, I think people are often ashamed of their feelings, or they are afraid of their feelings, of how the feeling is going to feel, or they're afraid of how they're going to be judged. So any which way, when you're stuck behind a very difficult emotion, it's kind of a catch between, am I going to be able to handle this feeling, or am I going to still be loved if I display this feeling? And that's a really tricky place to be, because we all have difficult emotions. We all know what anger is, you know, and how can we learn to safely regulate and display our authentic feelings without getting into, you know, a troubling situation. And so that's what, you know, The Fearless Path, the book, is really about: having the courage to face what we're really dealing with, and the courage to get into self-care in a new way, and to basically acknowledge and accept that, you know, the way that I feel and the situation that I come from is real. It doesn't mean it has to stay this way. I can do these healthy things to help me, you know, allow the processing to take place. And that's really what it's all about.
So, okay. I have this okay. Situation. Awesome. I'm never sure how much I should share about my
right.
own experience, right? But I feel like if I'm having this problem, other people might be having this problem as well. And you mentioned these emotions that come up. Anger is a really big one. But something that came up for me yesterday is actually this kind of Schadenfreude. If people don't know what that means, it's the pleasure in seeing someone else fail at something, or someone else's misfortune. And the reason is because it was sort of a karma thing. There had been this person who has been a bully in a previous social circle and has alienated many, many people, and yet continued to be part of this social circle and would be invited out to the point where other people would just leave the circle because they didn't want to deal with being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got an email yesterday that this person had blown up in typical fashion, and the other person who has been a big keystone in this social circle finally saw what everyone else was seeing and came to me for support. And I actually had to say, you know, I'd already disconnected from this social circle and I don't want to revisit that. But there were all these emotions that kind of came up where I felt sad for her that she had been close with this person and had been hurt. But at the same time, I felt vindicated.
Right.
Because I was like, well, now you see what I saw. And the fact that you allowed her, you witnessed how she treated me and other people, and you stood by her.
Yeah.
Now you're getting, you made your bed, now lie in it. I didn't say that to her, but that's what I felt. So
right.
How do we process, because those are kind of, I mean, when I felt these mixed emotions, the first thought was, I shouldn't be feeling this way.
And that's where the problem is. It's not the emotion itself. I mean, what you're experiencing is a need for justice, you know, and actually that feeling justified is one of the biggest issues that people struggle with. The fairness of all things, you know, we all want to be treated fairly. We want the world to be fair. And oftentimes I believe that the world is often fair, but we sometimes don't see the resolve. You know what I mean? So, like, you were able to see the resolution and the fairness and the justification come forward. So I don't think that feeling in itself, that's a natural, you know, instinct. That's a natural reaction to hurt feelings that you've had, to feeling unjustified, to feeling unheard, to feeling several things that you experience in the, you know, in what you witness with this person, and then you see it come to fruition in a different way, and there is almost like this relief of justification of your experience. But it's that part before where I shouldn't be feeling that. And who says you shouldn't be feeling that? You know, that's where we've socially become very judgmental of I should and shouldn't be feeling X, Y, or Z. And the reality is we are feeling that. And that's that presence with our emotions that allows the emotion to not build or grow or get distorted. But the presence to it is just acknowledging it and it being real, which actually settles it down. So if you didn't have that I shouldn't feeling, you may just feel a justification and move along. But it sounds like the issue is more with the feeling of I shouldn't, you know, than actually with the feeling of the justification on the other person's side. So it gets really tricky and complex, but it's not as complex as it seems if you break it down into this is what I feel. Can I feel this without having a judgment about what I actually feel and just allow myself in this moment to feel this way, knowing that this moment is going to change to another moment, knowing that emotions are fluid and they will change, and knowing that I have access to every emotion available because I am an emotional creature. Can I sit with what is real with me right now without judgment? And now we're able to start the healing process.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a different way, but it is very effective. And it's effective even for the PTSD. I know a lot of treatment groups now are using this kind of method as well in their meditations and so forth, of just allowing the traumatic memory, allowing the sensory, you know, impulses to be there and just sit with them for a moment and allow them to be and allow them to pass. Otherwise, we try to manipulate and manage the emotion, which actually gets it stuck in these really, you know, crevices of our mind and in our body and our emotional state. And that's when we start developing more problems.
Well, Leah, I'm wondering, though, there was that feeling of vindication or the Schadenfreude or whatever. When I heard about all of it, I was like, well, of course she did that.
Yeah.
You know, of course. And it's fantastic that you've now seen it. But but then there's that feeling of shame, or like, well, a good person, a pure person, a person with a pure heart, wouldn't have that feeling. I mean, isn't that kind of that shameful? That's an emotion too, right?
Yes. And so that's where your work starts coming up, you know? And so you're witnessing somebody else's experience. You're feeling the vindication. Then it kicks in that feeling of I shouldn't. And then I'm not right and something's wrong with me. And now I'm ashamed of myself for having that feeling. And then that's, and so if we were working together, like one-on-one client, that's what I would start to work with, is to find where the issue of, you know, if there's any kind of stuck energy or emotional distress and so forth, or issues of our mind even that keeps replaying these negative thought patterns, you know, what's going on underneath that. So it's less about the other person always, you know, and it's always more about us. And that's very keen of you to say that, because that is what is triggering, is should I be ashamed of myself for wishing this or being happy for, or, you know, watching this vindication. So now it becomes about your stuff instead of his stuff or whoever the person is. And that's where the work can start, you know. And luckily we have other people, you know, to trigger us and to be the example and to help us work on our stuff, you know. And that's why relationships can be so hard, but they also can be so healing, you know. And they say, you know, one moment of a compassionate, loving act of kindness can shatter through years of pain and suffering. And sometimes it takes all those years of those pains and sufferings to allow that one moment of loving kindness to shatter through. And sometimes it's an ongoing process where we can, you know, witness different things like this example you brought forth.
Thanks, Leah.
El show de Leo Ramírez, lunes 4 a 5 de la tarde en el 101.9 FM, CITR. The Leo Ramírez Show, Monday, 4 to 5 p.m. at 101.9 FM, CITR.
Do you love the idea of empowering female youth through music creation and performance? Girls Rock Camp Vancouver is a 100% volunteer-driven nonprofit that promotes self-esteem and builds technical skills in female and non-binary youth ages 8 to 18. Help support this initiative by donating, volunteering, or attending their end-of-camp performance July 15th at the Rio Theater. If you're interested in being a camper or volunteering with Girls Rock Camp, visit girlsrockcampvancouver.ca.
We've been speaking with Leah Guy. You can find her at modernsage.com. She's the author of The Fearless Path, A Radical Awakening to Emotional Healing and Inner Peace. Now, Leah, you say that letting go is some of the worst advice for healing from trauma. So why should we not let things go?
Well, okay, I always get a lot of questions about this, so I want to clarify from the very beginning. I'm talking about the emotions in particular. Everyone's trying to run away from experiences, and that is another way to avoid pain, or that's what people think. They think if I can let go, let time heal, just forget about it, deny the experience, then everything will be perfect and happy again. The problem is there's the theory of letting go is just that. It's a theory. It's not practical, and it's not applicable to most anything other than letting go of, you know, some, you know, dirty socks that someone gave you years ago, or what have you. You can also let go of some negative repetitive thinking. But emotions, as we stated earlier, they're real and they have happened. So if you're trying to let go of an experience, of an actual part of your history that's been a part of your makeup, of who you are, then you're essentially trying to disconnect from a part of yourself. Letting go has nothing to do with somebody else or something else or a job. You can take a new job. You can get out of a relationship. You can get into something else. But you're still going to have the effects of resentment or grief or shame or guilt or anger or jealousy or what have you until you work through the emotions and allow them to process and heal. So I'd like to explain it like this, that, you know, especially spiritual seekers and people of that sort really like to talk about the connection to all things. And we are. I believe that we are. And there is a divine order and there's a connection and this universal, you know, kismet kind of energy. And if that's true, then the cutting things off, cutting cords, letting go and so forth, these are just... They're just adding more stress and pressure and false thinking about the reality of a person's state of being. So, in other words, if you're in a relationship and someone really hurt you, let's say they cheated on you, yes, you probably want to move into a different scenario. However, to try to just forget the relationship, just let go of what happened, well, A, there's no cosmic trash can, and two, or B, you're also letting go of all of the learning, the positive emotions, the experience that you had, the emotional maturity that it brought, and everything about it. And that's not healthy. That's detachment. That's separation from self, from emotion, from heart, from soul. And so people that constantly talk about letting go, try to let go, they're really in a state of denial, I think, and it's causing mental fatigue and mental stress more than any kind of emotional healing.
Thank you for clarifying that, Leah. Well, because so many of us are, especially when we're on a spiritual path, it has been this teaching lately in the last decade or so, especially, mm-hmm. of the positive thinking movement. And
yes.
You know, we don't want to dwell in the negativity, but it seems like the pendulum has gone too far from, like, don't even look at the negativity, just pretend that it's not even there.
Right. And that adds to that false illusion of the world, and that's the mind. And we can try to train our mind, but the positive thinking is, you know, we should, especially some people have a very difficult time thinking positive. So it's a good thing to practice. Because we also have the negative thinking, you know, so I'm not going to sit here and say, don't try to think positive. That's fine to try to think positive, but also be aware of the negative, because negative is real. It is the polarity of all things. Again, you know, we ascribe to these ideas of yin yang and the, you know, the opposites attract and so forth. Well, if that's true, we need the negative to have the positive, and there will always be the negative to the positive. It's how we're responding to things. And it's very dangerous to not be in reality of, you know, what is real. That creates very stressful mental disorders. You know, what is real is real. And you can't just put a cherry on top and call it beautiful sometimes, you know, because it's painful. And we have to go through it. And but there is healing and light on the other side of that.
So, Leah, I'm curious how you help, because I notice sometimes people will either be in denial of their feelings, or they go to that extreme of, I'm angry and I'm going to be angry at all men or all people who I identify with as a negative in my life. And then the person just becomes like all anger all the time. Mm. And they'll be on a rant for like 4 years on Facebook. So where do you, right? We've all seen this. So where do we balance the, okay, so I have this emotion, I'm justified in how I feel without it becoming who we are as a person?
Right. Well, that's where the self-care comes in. People, like you just mentioned, you know, a lot of people get very hung up on pointing their finger and blaming everyone in the world for how bad they are feeling. When we become able, and it's at different ages for different people, but when we reach a level of emotional maturity, then we can finally take a break from blaming the world and just look at where we are, you know, regardless of who did what and how that made me feel, how somebody hurt me, how they're terrible, et cetera, et cetera. But again, with the reality of self-care is I'm responsible for how I feel. And so I really try to work with a person about bringing their energy and focus into how they're feeling, what they're doing, and what kind of care they're taking for themselves. And, you know, without sounding cliche or totally cheesy, you know, we do really have to start with the heart, because the heart is, in the book, there's a quote that says it's the bridge between heaven and earth. But it really is that place where we translate the higher spiritual energy into this world, and also where we transform the physical energy into a higher state of being. And it's also where we can create a space of compassion and self-love. And it sounds really gooey and, you know, fluffy and all that kind of stuff, but it's real, because what's happening most of the time when people are blaming and pointing fingers, they're still having all of that shame, the guilt, the fear, the anxiety, the self-doubt, etc., and they're really pointing the finger at themselves. So we have to start inside, and that's really, again, that's courageous to do. And it also takes a lot of ownership and responsibility, which requires maturity. So when I see those people that are just constantly bashing and on those rants, I know, one, that they're hurting, and two, they haven't quite, you know, owned up to their emotional maturity just yet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Leah. So I'm wondering if you have maybe a beginner exercise that someone could start out with. So they're having this negative emotion. Now we understand, okay, so I'm feeling anger.
Yes.
What's the next step?
Well, I do teach a lot of meditation, and so I fear to bring up that word all the time, because people are automatically go, oh, I got to do that. So let's not call it meditation, but why don't we just call it sitting for 2 minutes? Just try sitting for 2 minutes. And when you sit for 2 minutes, you're just going to turn everything off and close your eyes and just sit in total undistracted silence. If you can go to your car, if you need to, it doesn't matter. And notice in your body, and even say to yourself, I fear, or I feel anger. Where is the anger in my body? What does anger feel like? What does anger look like? And really get to know and experience what anger is for you. Often, again, our mind starts telling us, we don't even stop to really think of how we are right now. We just have this mind that says, oh, don't talk to that person, you're angry at them, or that person's bad, you know, they hurt you before. But if you really stop and get centered in yourself, just for a couple of minutes, and check in and go, how angry am I right now? You may be off the charts angry, then just sit with it and feel it and notice what it looks like and where it is. You may notice that, oh, I'm actually not that angry. That's an old script I've been telling myself, because it keeps me from moving on. You know, it keeps me from really doing something different and being happy. And so it's very simple, but very difficult to take those 2 or 3 minutes. And 3 minutes may turn into 5 minutes, and it may turn into 10 minutes. It doesn't matter. But being willing to sit down, be still, and just listen inside, you'll get a lot of information, and it gets the ball rolling, you know, of that connection to emotion, to mind, to body.
Thank you, Leah. And you said something interesting about how that old habit keeps us there. Can you say more about that?
Well, you know, actually the Zen Buddhists, they call it habit energy. And I don't teach Zen Buddhism or anything, but I do like that term, habit energy. So again, in that PTED, the post-traumatic emotional disorder, what often happens is we get the pain, it causes us to suffer, and then we want to stuff it away because we don't want to feel it anymore. We think if we, you know, let it out, that it's just going to keep attacking us. But the opposite is really true. If we let it out, then it has an opportunity to transform and move through and cycle out of our, you know, of our system, not that we'll ever forget. But the habit energy comes when we try to swallow it or stuff it in, and then we're just reacting from that memory of the pain instead of the reality of what we're feeling right now. And that is a very common practice, especially between friends, at the workplace and so forth. We have experiences, and we just assume that we're going to keep having the same experiences. And it stops us from forgiveness. It stops us from compassion. It stops us from feeling what we're really feeling. And we just kick back into that habit of, oh, you know, I see that person, I should feel this way. Or I walk in these doors and I should feel that way. We can challenge ourselves. You know, we can challenge ourselves again with the listening, with the being present and going, how do I really feel? You know, what is today like? Because that was yesterday or that was 10 years ago, you know, and it takes that courage again to challenge oneself.
And I can imagine that there's layers because I feel like this is a constant practice. Like as soon as we uncover one layer of habitual anger or fear or pain, then it seems like it uncovers a whole other layer the next day.
Yeah, I guess I know a lot of people talk about it as far as layers, but I just think of it more as it's still there. You know, I also hear people say, I must be over it because I don't have any emotion about it when I talk about X, Y, or Z anymore. And, you know, that's a little unusual. Not that you have to have a breakdown every time you remember something of the past, but there is an emotion that is attached to it. And this is what I'm referring to with that whole letting go. Everyone's trying to get rid of things. And, you know, in the book, I'm very open about the rape that I experienced. And I can talk about the rape without crying and so forth. But when I really think about that or feel it, I still have sadness and anger and shame and all kinds of things that come up because that's what was real. And so if I'm just trying to deny those things and that experience because it's making me feel okay in the moment, that doesn't mean that those emotions aren't alive or necessary. You know, we need certain memory and emotional memory to teach us and to help us and to help us evolve and deepen our personal and spiritual life. So the layers, yes, we can think of them as layers, but I think it just is. You know, people say, I've been working with my mother issues for 20 years. Yeah, because there's a mother issue. You know, it may be totally resolved someday. It'll still be what it was for those 20 years, and it will still probably elicit some kind of reaction, a response from you when you think back into that, you know, and that's kind of normal. So we can think of it different ways, but I just like to stay really present and current. You know, this is what is right now. And if it's a layer, it's a layer. If it's a memory, it's a memory. But what am I feeling right now? And what do I need to work with?
So it sounds like, Leah, you're saying that a lot of us expect that if we have in our journey towards healing, that we should be able to look at a past hurt and not have any feeling about it anymore. And that means we're over it. But that's not realistic.
Yeah. Well, what is over it? You know, and I'm not trying to be the devil's advocate about everything, but what is over it? Over what? I mean, it happened. We're all over the last moment that just happened because the moment's gone. You know, it used to be 6:34 and now it's 6:35. So I'm over 6:34. You know, again, that's all judgment in our mind about trying to be somewhere else. But what if we could just be with what is? And what is that, okay, maybe today I'm not feeling so emotionally triggered about that, but tomorrow I might feel emotionally triggered about that. I don't need to judge myself. I don't need to be anywhere else than where I am. So I don't need to be beyond or behind or over or wherever. I just need to be where I am. So it's a slightly different mentality take on the process.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
Having trouble finding affordable fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe located in the McMillan building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
Thanks, Leah. Right now, we are speaking with Leah Guy. She is the author of The Fearless Path, a radical awakening to emotional healing and inner peace. Her website is modernsage.com. So, Leah, we may have already kind of covered this, but maybe you can say it in a different way. It sounds like we're talking about the concept of emotional healing. So if we're not getting over it, mm-hmm. What's another way of saying that we're healed from this and that we're at peace?
Well, I think that's experiential. You know, I know myself and a lot of my clients, we've all had that feeling of being trapped or feeling stuck or feeling unhappy or being depressed or feeling anxious. Or, you know, when we're not having these heightened symptoms of life, then we can probably safely say we're pretty good right now. You know, we're okay. And are we healed all the way? Who knows? You know, maybe we are, maybe we're not. The peace, the happiness, that sense of a wholeness, that's what we're looking for. And so if we can find that sense of wholeness, and that comes from connection, and it comes from staying present, and it comes from actually accepting and acknowledging the truth of what is and all of our past experience, that feeling of wholeness, you know, it's something we want to hold on to. And that's where healing is or is happening. So that's about all I can say. I mean, you know, everyone wants to be better or changed or experiencing life in a different fashion. But that's usually a sign that there is more work to do. So we just keep doing the work.
Fair enough. So, Leah, you mentioned that one practice of whether it's sitting in your car or just in a quiet space and just sitting with that emotion and noticing it in your body and asking those questions. And in your book, The Fearless Path, there's some emotional workouts. So I'm wondering what, aside from that one, is another exercise that you really like to recommend or like to do yourself?
Yeah. Well, as a first step, kind of first steps, and some of my favorite anyway, are really physical kind of things. You know, we're all, again, trying to get healed and better and more enlightened and awakened and having these spiritual euphoric experiences because we're, you know, wonderful people. But the truth is we're human beings, and a lot of times we really need to start with the grassroots and getting into the grass, getting physical, getting connected to nature, taking care of things like gardening practices, animals, you know, adopting a grandmother, these kinds of connections that really help us feel purposeful here, that help us feel connected to nature, that help us feel more connected to ourselves. These are really strong first steps. And they sound like just maybe some hobbies or fun activities, and they are. But emotional workouts, it's not all heavy lifting. You know, it's not all writing letters to your long lost loved one or the person who, you know, destroyed your heart. Some of it is actually really fun and engaging. And that will, too, engage the emotional bodies and emotional health of a person. So I really like a lot of those. I mean, when I first started my healing journey, I was all about, like, really physical chop wood, carry water jobs. You know, I did a remodeling job. I was painting houses. I was out riding my bike to work. I was, you know, swimming in lakes and just getting as connected as I could. And I think that that's a very good first steps to healing.
Thank you, Leah. Again, we are speaking with Leah Guy. She's the author of The Fearless Path, a radical awakening to emotional healing and inner peace. You can find her at modernsage.com. Now, Leah, you also talk about letting fear be your teacher. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, fear is a big one for a lot of people, including me. You know, I was ruled by fear for a long time. And of course, there's still things I'm afraid of. Fear is natural and it's important. But if we can, instead of running from fear, find that courage to stay with the fear and listen to what it's telling us. Let it guide us to where we need to do some of the work. Fear, as we know, physically, it'll alert us when we're in severe danger. But most of the fear that a lot of us experience are these, I don't want to call them fabricated because it sounds like it's not real, but fears about emotional things or experiences that may happen. It's the anxiety of the unknown, in other words. It's the fear of change. And that change can feel like a death to many of us, you know, changing jobs, changing our living locations, changing relationships. And it is a certain kind of death, a metaphysical death sometimes, or the death of a particular time in our life. But we fear those things because it disrupts what we know. And so letting fear be present instead of trying to run from it at every moment. Again, it's another emotion. It's that root energy, that very basic kind of carnal, you know, information that we get from our senses that alerts us, hey, something needs attention here, you know? And then it's up to us to get into the practice of sitting, of listening, of being mindful, of paying attention and doing that self-care. So it's really one of the biggest biggest teachers that we have. Mm-hmm. If you're never afraid of anything, you're probably not growing that much, you know, or you just have a really strong constitution. I don't know, one or the other.
Leah, I'm wondering if you, I'm sure we all experience this, how our mind can sometimes play tricks on us. Like we'll be sitting with that fear and kind of asking ourselves, why am I feeling this fear or this anger? And then there can be like this surface level, well, because that person was behaving like a jerk and I'm justified in how I feel. Yes. So, and then we could just move on from there and say, okay, well, then it's because they're a jerk.
Right. Well, this is where we get into the other versus self. So I know this is very difficult for a lot of us. And, I include myself in every time I say us, because I'm, you know, a person like all of us. Every time it's about someone else, we're avoiding the deeper issue inside. So even though the person was a jerk, what's going on with you? Where does it feel like you're being threatened? Why do you feel so unsafe? Why do you feel so insecure? And the only way we're going to be able to grow and have different experiences with that person or someone else is to strengthen ourselves. I often talk about in the book as well, but in workshops and so forth, you know, most of us come at life in this kind of defensive position of, I own a healing center and we have crystals and sage and all kinds of metaphysical gifts and that kind of thing. The number one question I get is, what do you have, or what can I use to protect from negative energy? And I always point to their body and I say, you know, you don't need any of this stuff, really. It's you. Because when we're always thinking about protecting ourselves and shielding ourselves and blocking ourselves, and that person made me feel this way, we're really just giving our power to everyone and everything around us, even if they've hurt us. That whole mentality is, you still have something on me. And you hurt me, and now I'm going to be afraid, or I'm going to go away because you hurt me. You know, this is, you have more power than me. But what about strengthening ourselves? And this is where the self-care comes in. Finding ways to feel less shame and more empowerment. Finding ways to work through the guilt and get back in touch with our passion and what the positive things that we give to the world and to relationships and so forth. This starts building our inner strength, our identity, our energy, our emotional well-being. And so now we're not, you know, in defense all the time and cowering in this protective measure. We're presenting positive, strong energy and ourselves. So I think that's the way to work with the fear and the blame.
Thank you, Leah. And I just want to clarify that that doesn't just because our emotions have to do with us doesn't mean that we have to continue to subject ourselves to external.
No. Yeah, that's part of the strength. You know, a lot of people, and I'm glad you clarified it, because a lot of people do have that question. If you're in an unhealthy or dangerous situation, it is up to us to remove ourselves from that situation. And in that process, and future, there's always a place to gain more strength and to empower ourselves more and more. But by no means am I suggesting that a person stay in an unhealthy situation and just take abuse. But it is surprising when you present from a place of strength and confidence and assuredness and less fear, that oftentimes the world responds a little differently to you, you know, and not that it's going to keep you out of harm's way. We always have to be careful, but I'm speaking mostly about, you know, the emotional aspect of things. And it's just important that we continue to develop and mature and take care of ourselves instead of constantly being worried about what other people are doing.
I'm glad you said that, Leah, because I feel like, I mean, there are those situations where we're in physical or mental danger, where it could be a physically or emotionally abusive situation. But there's also that fear that we have of people thinking badly of us, or people not liking us, or people being hurt by how we're feeling. So how do we balance being assertive and being strong? And not, because you could go to the other end of the pendulum and be like, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm just going to say whatever's on my mind. We don't necessarily want to do that. But we also want to be strong in ourselves. And if someone doesn't like how we authentically are, to be okay with that.
Right. That's a tricky one. And it's especially when you're in a relationship with somebody is being a little stronger than you in their own state of being, it can abruptly, you know, wake you up and go, hold on a second, he's not doing anything wrong, but why does this feel, you know, it kind of feels like a personal attack somehow. But the truth is that it's bringing up the weakness in you, you know. So it's, I think a person that is interested in doing mindfulness work and using, again, that heart as the step, that bridge, always being mindful of heart-based and heart-connected actions and reactions instead of reacting out of our pain and suffering, that we have less likely of a chance to kind of shove it in somebody's face. You know, I think people that are trying to be mindful and healing and supportive and compassionate, you know, we have a gauge, you know, we have our own sense of shame. Most people think of shame that's induced from other people, but we have healthy shame. We have that self-induced shame. So we have a barometer inside where we know, you know, oh, maybe I'm feeling confident now, but perhaps that was a little too much. And the person that doesn't have that barometer probably still has some issues working with, you know, their ego and their identity and their sense of value. So it's constantly it's just like the emotions. It's constantly moving through and being aware and conscious about our actions and watching other people and being observant and as empathic as we can to understand how people are translating our words and actions and experiences. So it's kind of a multiple, you know, act going on.
Like a juggling act.
Yeah, it really is. But the more we get into it, you know, it becomes easier because you do get more in tune with yourself. The more in tune you get with yourself, the more in tune you tend to get with other people, I think. You know, it kind of goes hand in hand most of the time.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like I need to sit with all that. and I liked what you said. I want to bring it back to what you said about if we are feeling like it's about someone else, because I think that that's the process I know that I often go through is, am I justified in feeling how I feel? And then if it turns out that I'm not, then, you know, I'll apologize or talk about it or whatever it is that I need to do in that moment. But if I do look at it and feel like, yes, I am justified, sometimes that's where I stop.
So you mean if you feel like your emotion is justified, then you just want to be in that emotion and kind of not blame, but just allow that to be what it is instead of going any further.
I think that might be the sort of ulterior motive is to not go further. But what I mean by that is say I'm having a negative emotion about someone said something to me. Mm-hmm. And I was hurt by it. And then I think about it and I think, okay, well, is this something from my past that is bringing this up? Or was that person justifiably being unkind? And if I assess that that person appeared to be intending to hurt me or intending to be rude, then I may feel justified in how I feel negatively towards them. And then I might stop there. Rather than going deeper and going, okay, yes, that person's intent may have been to hurt me, but it's still, the emotion is still going on with me.
Right. I see what you mean. Yeah. And that's true. So that ties in a lot of different elements actually of that compassion for others and trying to understand them as well as understanding our experience, which can be very hard to do, especially if we get triggered or feel attacked in some way, verbally or emotionally. So that might take some time to unwind, you know, if you're in the heat of an emotion and wondering if you can even trust the person or if they are, if their response to you or their actions to you are valid. It's hard to separate that out of your own emotional state. I think though, for most experiences, we are validated with how we feel. I mean, all of our emotions come from the experience and our translation of it, yes. But even if our translation of the experience is wrong and we're misinterpreting the actions of another, that's still information to us as to, you know, why you got triggered or where there's still some residual pain or, this is that habit kind of energy we're talking about. So I think it's kind of irregardless of if they're, you know, if they're right in their action and response to you, you can still feel valid in your feelings. And also at the same time, take a little bit of time to try to figure out their part in it versus your part in it, because it's really complicated to do at the same time. And that's what gets people stuck, and especially in fights, you know. It's we're trying to win our own war inside by working through all these old past triggers and these deep emotional wounds, and we're also trying to salvage and understand and trust the experience that we're having with another, and it becomes way too much all at one time for a lot of people. So I have difficulty myself taking a lot of space, you know, and like taking the break and then coming back, because I want to resolve things right away. Yep. when I'm heated, especially. But sometimes, especially when it hits those old nerves, we do need to take a little bit of a breather and then be able to come back and say, this was my experience. You know, what was your experience in relaying this information to me? Because this is what it did to me. And a lot of times we'll realize either the person had no idea that's what it was going to, you know, cause or trigger in you. And sometimes they are just being nasty and rude and mean because they're humans, you know, and they're suffering. And it's unfortunately spilling out on you at the moment. You know, it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it wrong. It's just, that's what's happening.
Thank you for bringing up that taking that time to, like you mentioned, numerous times throughout the interview, is that self-care, taking that space to process the feeling before we try to resolve it. Because that's, I get stuck there too, where it's like, okay, I'm emotionally triggered right now, so we have to deal with this right now.
Yeah. And that's that kind of like, you know, grasping, please help me feel better right now. That's what that is. You know, I don't like the way I'm feeling. Let's figure this out right now so that I don't have to feel like this, because it can be torturous, you know. Yeah. But it's not always the best, the best way.
Yeah. Usually it ends up worse, or even if it doesn't end up worse, what we're doing is I'm relying on that person to soothe me rather than soothing myself and then addressing it.
Right.
Yeah. but it's not easy. So Leah, I'm curious, how long do people typically have to work with you before they start feeling this emotional maturity in themselves?
Well, I think I attract those that are kind of on that cusp or that turn. I call it turning the transformational corner. So I usually get people when they're there, and then it starts to feel really uncomfortable, you know, and at that point they're seeking help. Up to that point, they're kind of managing and, you know, trying different things and feeling different things and so forth. And then it's like, whoa, it's overwhelming and it gets uncomfortable. And then typically that's when they seek help, or that's when they come to me. And you know what? It varies. Some people come literally just once a year, and they'll work all year with the homework I give them and with the discussion that we've had. Some people come once a month for a while if they're in a really chronic situation. But I try not to work with people too much like therapy, because it really is energetic and emotional stuff, and it never goes away. It's just learning how to process it more fully so that we can, you know, experience more happiness and peace. So I don't encourage people to come every 2 weeks. You know, it's just too much. I typically do like a combination of talk therapy, energy healing, and even some sound and oils and different things, you know, to help all the energy shift together. And it can be profound, and it can also, you know, take a little while to integrate.
Wonderful. So if people want to get a better idea of what you do, you can go to Leah Guy's website, modernsage.com. And the name of the book is The Fearless Path, A Radical Awakening to Emotional Healing and Inner Peace. So this is a lot of sort of self-help in this book. At what point are people going to call you up if they're reading the book and needing help?
At what point will they call me up?
Or would you advise them to drop you a line?
Well, yeah, they can. A lot of people, I think what's happening a lot is a lot of people are sending messages and reaching out for support or for sessions. But the connection, you know, the understanding of, oh, wow, you know, I've had a similar situation and I have these kinds of symptoms and this is what's going on. And so there really is a lot of support in the book. Even the stories give a good deal of support, because they range from all kinds of things, and they're all not heavy traumatic stories. Some of them are, but some of them are just very, you know, average issues that we all face. And then with the emotional workouts, there's also I have a meditation CD that works with each chakra and each emotional root issue. So some people like that, so they can order that online as well. But you know, I encourage anyone to reach out to me if they're struggling or they're hurt. But you know, the book does offer quite a bit of support.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, Leah, we are almost out of time. So I'm wondering if there's anything that you want to leave us with, or one point that you really want people to take home today.
I think that, a lot of people ask me how to get started, and this is the real reason I do the work that I do. I'm not the greatest healer in the whole wide world. I'm not, you know, I don't have 3 PhDs behind my name, but I have a lot of experience and I've worked with a lot of people. And it takes that inspiration, and it takes someone that you feel like you can confide in or trust to share your story. And I guess what I hope for most people is that they can find a group, a person, or a healer type to be with them and walk with them on this journey and give them inspiration, and to keep searching for that inspiration, because that's what motivates me, you know, to keep going and to do my work and to help other people and to do my own self work is the inspiration that I receive from other people. There is peace and joy and solid wholeness available if we show up and do the work.
Mm. Beautiful. Thank you so much. We have been speaking with Leah Guy. She is the author of The Fearless Path, A Radical Awakening to Emotional Healing and Inner Peace. You can find her website at modernsage.com. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much to Leah for being with us today. And thank you for taking the time for yourself to share this time with us. I want to send you lots of love. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week.
Namaste.
It must have been very hard for your dad when you got chosen and had to leave.
Yeah.
You're feeling nimble? You might get a little dirty.
Offer itself to me, because in Ardennes at teachings, it's the animal that offers itself to you.
Through June 16th, CITR 101.9 FM.